Tolani badge.
I was just saying that.
Oh, you were? Mm-hmm. Okay, that would be Tolani badge. And then who else would that be? I liked Ozo. Oh, obviously, like, he was the first housemate to be called up on the stage. Mm-hmm. So it was very easy to notice him, of course, light skin and everything. And he was wearing white or something. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was really mm-hmm. nice, very good looking, very delicious mm-hmm. looking. You know,
yeah, I don't quite agree, but okay, go on.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about myself. You know, but yes, like, he was one person that really, I think I even tweeted about it on that day. He said, ooh, this Ozo, stuff like that. So yes, Ozo really stood up for me because, of course, he was number one to be called on the stage. And then Tolani badge had something about her that, you know, that was so relatable to me, you know. So yes. And yeah, that was it.
So those are the first two that you noticed and you liked on the opening night. Like I was just saying, prior to you joining the show, I noticed Tolani Baj from the gate as well, and physically I noticed Eric and Tochi. So those are the three people that I was looking out for during the course of the week. But that has obviously changed because we've been exposed to so much. There's been so much drama, so many talking points, so much to pick at and examine. You know, so first I want us to look at, which housemate do you feel has made the most of this week in terms of how they've related with other housemates, what they've been able to show the viewers about who they are and what they're going to bring to the game long term?
Okay, so that, I mean, I guess you're asking the housemate that stood out for me in this week.
Yes.
That would be Lakon, surprisingly. That would be Lakon, you know, because I think that he's one housemate that was sort of underrated, you know, from the beginning of the show. I think that he was a huge, huge, huge surprise, you know, what Lakon turned out to be compared to what people, and of course, trust Nigerians now, we're already throwing a pity party for Lakon, in fact, we're already doing GoFundMe for Lakon, you know, because we kind of judge people basically from the way they look and all of that, you know, but he's really shown himself to be so much more, and on his own merit, he's shown us that, you know, he has what it takes to be on a show as this. You know, so yes, like that would be Lakon for me.
Okay, yes, I agree with that. Lakon, I mean, I was even sending silly tweets when I saw him, like, yo, why is a member of YBNL on the show? But he's kind of unfurled and is proven to be far more interesting than his looks suggest. So that's a big lesson.
Yes, yes.
But more
yes,
than Lakon, actually, this is the biggest surprise for me was Nengi. I think when you look like she does and you have a body like she does, with the exception of Kim, you probably get far in the game. You know, just off your looks.
Yes,
off your looks,
you
get far. You might not win, but you get far. However, she has shown herself to be personable, relatable, competitive. That, for me, is...
very competitive. I totally agree with that.
I love that so much. And also, as the days went on, it became apparent that she understood her power. She understood the power she wielded over the men in particular. Her relationship with the women, I still don't know what to make of it because I think it's still dicey and I don't know that she's sort of exploring that angle as much, you know. But however, in terms of relating to the men and the power she has over them, she's wielding it lightly right now, but maybe too often. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, I see that. For her relationship with the women, the one person I would say that she actually has a real relationship with will be with Thurny. You know, the thing with Erica is, you know, like, I mean, like, I'm still observing it, you know, but it just doesn't seem like, you know, all genuine to me and everything so far, you know, just from what I've observed and everything, you know. But I think her thing with Thurny seems okay to me. But yes, she has like a lot of power over the guys. And I love it, by the way. I mean, like, I'm here for it. I'm totally enjoying it, you know. But yes, I think maybe she may need to slow down a little bit, you know. Because, I mean, you don't want to exhaust whatever power it is that you have in the first week. It's just week one, you know, and that is we have a long show ahead of us. So, yes,
exactly. So there's her. There's also, we've talked about Lakon, and then there is Prince. Prince, for me, is a massive underdog. Okay, I think many people didn't see him coming. However, the first time I really noticed him, like really thought, oh, this guy might be about something, was probably on Saturday. You know, because I'm a big fan of dance, even though I can't dance myself. the way this guy just sort of took over the pre-party they had in the house and the way he moved, I was like, oh, I gotta keep my eye on him. And then since then, he's sort of been able to, like, it's obvious and apparent that the housemates respect him. you know, like he didn't, his sexuality is not really part of the show. And sexuality as in his like sexual prowess, he's not using his maleness to get ahead in any way, shape or form. He relates to all the women. He might be closer to some, but he relates to all the women, most of the women, on sort of like a colleague to colleague basis, not a man to woman basis, which is what the other boys do. Do you see what I mean? So I think that also impressed me about him. So he's also on my list. And of course, how can we forget
Neo? Neo! Oh my goodness, like, you know, from the first night, and it seemed like, oh, he was all over the place, he was talking so much and everything, but you know, just I just took a liking to Neo, you know. Mm-hmm. I kind of enjoyed that, the fact that, I mean, like, he talked quite a lot. I mean, look at who
you
I
enjoy
last
that.
Year. I do enjoy that, actually. It's a lot. The thing is, I think I actually like how it annoys people. So it's the reaction that people get. I get off of, you know, watching people just be mad at Neo being such a talkative, you know. But then I think, in the days afterward, he's a beautiful man, you know. And then, like, I mean, he's smart as well. I think he's like he's a cool guy, you know. And then the thing with V as well, like, so yes, just watching Neo on evolve from day one, you know, you can tell he doesn't talk as much as he used to talk from the beginning, you know. He's a lot more chilled, more laid back, and now we now know the essence of Neo. We kind of like all have an idea of the kind of person that Neo is right now. So yeah, I like Neo. I really like him. He's really one of my favorite people in the house.
He's very open. That's one thing I like about him. He's very open. Yeah, he talked a lot. He's a loquacious guy. For the first 2 days, I had to mute him from time to time. However, he's evolved, like, quickly as well. You know, that's probably courtesy of his relationship with V, and also of him being a bit more assured of his place amongst his peers in the house. So that was lovely to see. His relationship with V, I was quite uncomfortable to begin with, because I thought, okay, is this babe trying to force herself on this fellow? Is he interested? But funnily enough, as he settled down and really listened to her and saw her value and saw that she liked him, she didn't need him, he sort of just relaxed. And then he started to see how lucky he was that she was interested in him. You know, like, that turnaround really sung to my heart. I was like, yeah, this is how it is. Like, you're not, just because somebody likes you doesn't mean that they're a fool. You know, yeah. So it was beautiful to see that, and to see him also mellow out. That made me very, very happy.
Like, he doesn't see the need to keep talking and talking and talking and talking. You know, so like, yeah, he's all chilled out. And I mean, like, you know how it is. Like, on the first week, it's usually like that. So some people are overly quiet, like Solani Badge. You know, she's just so in her shell.
Oh, God,
you know, such a letdown.
Yeah, she's
about
she's...
this girl. You know, I really, really hoped that, you know, she was going to like come into her element and just generally show us, you know, that bad bitch vibe and everything. But I thought she was all.
Hello? Hello? Oh, man, I think my guest's internet is doing what, you know, what Nigerian internet often does, which is quite a shame, because we were just getting into the groove of things. But, you know, you guys just sort of get, you know, you're going to get a chance to really feel out how the show is going to go, which is a deep analysis of the events in the house, of the housemate and whatever. So please tweet at
let me just barge in a little bit. She said Neo is a beautiful man.
He's a beautiful man. He's from your town as well. He's a Delta State worry boy kind of, like, he's a beautiful man. He's the most perfect looking guy I have ever seen on BBN, and I'm not, no cap from me, no cap from
Obvious,
me.
Obvious, stop hating. Obvious, stop hating.
I promise I'm not hating. I was
like,
just
he's
like,
6 foot what? Two six oh, foot three
delicious.
He's slim, he's cocoa skinned, he's a beauty. Oh my God.
Even Demola just tweeted, it was like there's a Neo in the house. Like, you guys, that intro on Neo.
Are you watching the show?
He's not watching the show, so he doesn't understand.
I'm not really watching like that, so I'm not quite, I wouldn't be the one person that you call. But me, I'm just observing you guys, and I think I want to go, based on what you guys are saying, I want to go check out Neo. And you say he's a worry boy.
Neo is on screen right now. Darius is
my brother.
Right now. Really is.
Yeah.
My brother.
Okay. Ovia, go away. You're not R&D.
Okay.
Let's continue. Let's continue this conversation. So, you know, initial impressions to the side, and then we got onto the ships. The first one being Lerick. Eric and Lilo, that sort of just happened with the speed of lightning. They were flirting intensely for 2 days, and the next thing we know, they're like all up in each other,
all
and around each other,
all like that, yes.
I mean, it started off so exciting for me because I had never seen that kind of electricity on BBN before. However, it has become tedious. They have secluded themselves from the rest of the house. I mean, I just watched Lilo's diary session right now, where it's apparent to me that she's really affected by the speed at which they move to where they are. And also, she says she has a boyfriend outside, so I'm sure it's also dawning on her how she's wasting this experience being wrapped up in Eric. And also, how Eric is also wasting his experience being wrapped up in Lilo, because I heard a conversation he had with Ozo earlier, where he was saying he needed to have a conversation with Lilo to establish what they are exactly and what they're doing means to each other, you know. So what do you have to say about that relationship?
Honestly, like when they coupled up originally, I think like that for me has been the easiest, smoothest relationship on BBN Niger, you know. It was electric. I think I spoke to my friend about it. It's like, yo, the chemistry was just unbelievable. You know, two strangers just came together and it was just instant, you know. But then I see how that has taken away from their game, both their games, you know, instead of adding. And at the end of the day, you know, like, you're on the show for yourself, you know. So if you come into the show and then you're lost in the sauce, then you haven't actually gained anything. So yes, as much as it kind of hurts to see her in that way, because I mean, like, I know how it is when you're not sure, you don't even know what you're doing anymore, and you feel like you're losing yourself because of a relationship. However, I think that yes, they actually do need to just exercise some social distancing from each other. Yes, they need to, like, you know, yes, they really need to socialize with other people.
I think we're getting there. After Lilo's diary session today, I think it dawned on her like that they were wasting time. So almost we're gonna get there. All right, so let's move on to the second ship in the house. Oh, we've talked about Neo and V. We'll talk about them more at length in the coming weeks, you know, as things unfold. But let's talk about Ozo, Nengi and Dora.
And Dora.
My baby Dora the Explorer.
So that's the Dozone triangle, you know.
Yeah. The Dozone. Yeah, so there's Ozone, which is Ozo and Nengi. There's
and then
Dozo.
Which is Dora, which is, and Ozo. Mm-hmm.
And together they are
Dozone.
Yeah, so tell me what you're, you know, just give the listeners a little backstory to this ship.
Okay, so initially, you know, it was Ozo, actually, it was actually Ozo and Dora I noticed at first, you know. Mm-hmm. And then there's Nengi, you know. And it started off, you know, a very complicated triangle of entanglements, friends, and fancy zones.
No, you're skipping a few steps. It wasn't apparent to anybody that Ozo was really interested in Nengi. He said she's a spec, but there's one thing.
Yeah, that's why I said fancy zones, because he kept mentioning her. No, Tola, come on.
Let's
everything
let's
they
rewind.
Ask him. Who is it? Nengi.
Let's rewind. Initially, Ozo and Dora were very close, to the point that in his first diary session, Big Brother asked him who he was bonding with. He only mentioned Dora. He said Dora is by far and away his favorite person in the house. It wasn't apparent to us at that point if that meant anything romantic or was strictly platonic, but that's what he said. Okay. And then the housemates had this idea that because they're both rather fair, they belong together. So they sort of in subtle ways kept nudging him, that's Ozo, towards Nengi. And it just happened.
I kind of disagree with that. Hold on one second. I kind of disagree with that because as much as the housemates sort of put pressure on him to move to Nengi, for every time they asked him, because remember that they had played a game in the first, on the second day, mm-hmm. that's a Monday, when they were getting to know each other. Mm-hmm. And then for every time they asked him his spec, he said, oh, light-skinned and ass. Light skin. Mm-hmm. And then the next day again, when they asked with the question again, he said, mm-hmm. oh, Nengi, the HOH is my spec.
Yes,
and so when you continue to make statements like that, it's kind of like, you know, it's like you're putting out something there. So you don't blame anybody who decides to run with it. You know, so that's it for me.
Okay, so just to take a little break, Faxi from Twitter says the relationship was too fast and intense. They might have to cool it down. Lyric, that is. Thank you for sharing your opinion with us, Faxi. We appreciate it. Please keep it locked to BB Niger Lockdown Breakdown. You were saying about Dozo.
Yes, so I was saying that, so yes, so like after it was apparent to everybody that Azor had something, I don't know what it was, you know. In fact, I think I even tweeted about it. I'm like, oh man, that's how you people just say, eh, you'd be making, you know, someone feel the type of way, and then you continue to go out there to put something out there. And just, I mean, like, it just got awkward really for Dora. And I like that the girl has a good head on her shoulders, you know. So she set him straight, listen, I'm not going to play this game with you and all of that, you know. And I think he also tried to explain things, but then it still seemed like he was being sneaky, you know. But then, thanks to our chief table shaker, Ebuka, you know, when he asked for clarification about the ship, mm-hmm. because even us as viewers, we self-confused, you know, mm-hmm. because we didn't really know what was going on. Yeah. But I was really impressed anyways with how he made the clarification very yes. well thought out so and articulate.
So was I.
Yes.
So was I.
So anybody who then chooses to think otherwise after being told the facts would only have themselves to blame.
Yes. However, there's something you're missing, and I think this is key to understanding that Dozone triangle. Ozor was comfortable because Nengi, to begin with, was sort of very keen to establish how he felt about her. It came very close to throwing herself at him, just not physically.
Oh, she did.
Words.
Yes, she did.
She made it apparent that she wanted him to plant his flag vis-a-vis how he felt about her, okay? Mm-hmm. And when the guy came around after he had the conversation with Dora that you were referring to, he then, you know, pulled her aside for a conversation, whatever, yeah. told her in that conversation that he fancied her. I think she was slightly taken aback by that, because he then clarified that fancy doesn't mean like. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So I think she was a bit, you know, taken aback. Now, so baby said, okay, I go show you.
So I'm loving it too.
I'm loving it. By like day three of their dalliance, okay, the tables have completely turned.
Turned 180 degrees. Let's not say 360 because I'm like back to where you started.
It's absolutely amazing yes. to see how Ozor mm-hmm. is basically the one following non-existent
Nengi,
breadcrumbs.
Because see, Titola, Nengi did everything humanly possible to get Ozor's full attention. Okay?
Yes.
And then suddenly she remembers she has a boyfriend.
Yes.
And then she wants to explore what she has thought. So, sister, is that how you used to do? I mean, I like Nengi, you know, she's smart, competent, and everything, but like, yo, how do you work so hard to get someone and then you do him like this? Girl, you need to give us masterclass, I beg, when you come out, because this
is... I love it so much. And
so
to him, he feels like he knows what he's doing, but it's clear that he doesn't. Because, you know, one thing I do like about this fellow is that he's very deliberate. For good or ill, he's very deliberate. He's not someone given to spontaneity. You know, that can come across as rather geeky, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. He's deliberate. He's also
measured. Yes.
Yeah, measured, exactly. He's also rather caring. So at this point, he's still very given to pursuing whatever nonsense he's got going on with Nengi. Meanwhile, she's kind of moved on. She's moved on, you know, referring to the comment I made earlier about her being very aware of the power she has over the boys in the house. Ozor is firmly a chess piece for her now. He's on her board now for her to get another one. She's got Lacon on there. She's got Tricky on there. She's got Ozor on there now. Now she's going to move on and collect another piece. And she's targeting Print, which I think is funny because he's far too smart to fall for that game. What do you think?
Yes, I think that if for Prince, because Prince is like everybody's man, you know, he's even the guys, he's all the guys' man, he's all the girls' man as well. So it's kind of easy for him. He's also very generous with his time, with his attention to everybody. So I doubt that someone like Nengi is going to be able to hold him down, you know, in that way. So yes, I think that it's just going to be pretty much touch and go. Yeah. Yes, she's going to get attention when it's her turn, but then it's going to be everybody else's turn as well. So
exactly.
I don't really see anything coming out of that at all.
Exactly. Honestly, I feel like he's removed his sexuality from the game. Like, he's willing to, like, be friendly with the women and, you know, put his head on Tolani Barge's breast, as he's wont to do. But I don't think he's going to go. Yeah, he's done it, like, three times now.
I know.
I don't think he's going to go any further.
Oh, and then when he took his whole time to... you know, like Rob, what's an Erica's hair, you know, I'm like, okay, brother, go on. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
You know, but yes, I think he's generally like a very caring guy, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, you know, so
we've got a question from Top Striker at Afrodemic 3. there is always a dark horse every season. Who do you think it's going to who do you think is going to be the dark horse of this season? We've just been talking about him. I believe it's Prince. I think if he plays his cards right, he's got a good shot. If
he's got a very good chance, yeah. Yes.
His alliances in the house will be key to that, but he's got a good relationship with everyone in the house thus far, so he's got a very
Is it Prince that was having an erection the other day when one babe was like laying down next to him?
Can you see what this guy notices? Can you see what this guy notices of the whole show? No, that was Eric.
It's not Prince of you.
That was Eric. Oh, speaking of Eric.
But, okay, let me. Wait, that was all I wanted to ask.
Yeah, okay, bye.
Goodbye. Okay.
Speaking of Eric, like physically, he promised so much, but he's been a letdown. That's all I wanted to say. I don't want to go on about it because I'm still smarting from like the disappointment. Yeah. I just wanted to throw my baby in there so he's in people's minds. Okay, moving on. So yeah, to answer your question, dear listener, thank you for tuning in. I think the dark horse of the season is Prince Oriade Omoba. That's who I think it is. All right, so moving on. This season, Big Brother has unveiled a new nomination in eviction style. So, do you understand this process? And would you care to share the process with our listeners?
Okay, so before I share my thoughts on nominations, I think it will be good for you to give us like a quick summary of what this new nomination system is, because I was initially confused as well. So just for clarity, for the benefit of those that don't still get it, I think you should just give us like a quick summary of...
No worries. Okay, so this season, Big Brother has unveiled a new formula to this whole thing. You know, in prior seasons, fans have been the all-conquering, all-deciding block. However, Big Brother, firstly, is coming for all your pockets. And secondly, to spice up the game, he has decided to split the power between the fans and the housemates, which I think is always the right direction to go, but I've got one reservation, which we'll get to once if he tells me her opinion. So this season, fans will vote for the first nomination vote. They will vote for 14 housemates that will be safe, right? So the top 14 housemates are safe. The bottom four housemates, however, will be on the eviction block. Live on Sunday, housemates will go into the diary room and nominate two of the four that they wish to evict, with Big Brother evicting at least one of the two. Okay, I hope you guys follow that. Please let me know if you understand. So that is the new twist. Housemates on Sunday will get to say 14 housemates. So that's the top 14 are automatically safe. The bottom four will be up for auto eviction, depending on the nominations by the housemates on the live eviction show on Sunday. Okay, that's how it's going down. So this season, relationships are key to survival. So of the four, you might have gotten 19%, like Kathy last season, and she got evicted, and you might have got 0.1% and survive over the person that got 19%. Relationships in the house will prove to be very key this season. Ifeanyi, let me hear your thoughts on that.
Okay, so I personally was looking forward to a nomination because this level of kumbaya in the house is really just doing my head in. They should fight now, you know? I mean, like, we're not really hearing people gossip. Yes, I know that when they start gossiping, we'll still, like, be angry that they're gossiping, but they should give us something, you know? But it just seems like everybody's just super chilled and everything. There's no tension, you know? And I think that's, like, a very important part of the show. That is the nomination. So as much as I understand how this also makes sense, everybody being up and whatnot, you know, but then we as viewers, we don't have a 360 degree view of what's like is going on in the house, you know. So it's during nominations that's when we now know like who is beefing who, what's that's like true. So we out here we're acting like we're all cool and everything, you know, but then when we go in there, that's when we know, like, okay, no, this person said this thing to me. And then, you know, yeah, so, like, for me, I was really hoping that that was going to happen, but that didn't happen. So it's sort of, like, hard to really know what the exact tempo and the dynamics is currently in the house.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Shorty at Basem wants me to explain what I mean. Okay, so listen closely once again. In the house currently, there are 18 people up for eviction, okay? They've all been auto-nominated because this season, except the head of house and the deputy head of house, everybody is up for eviction every single week. All right. So right now, viewers will vote for all the housemates. The top 14 housemates will be automatically safe. The bottom four housemates will then be subject to a nomination an eviction session by the housemates going into the diary room and telling Big Brother the two that they would like to kick out. So live on Sunday, at least one housemate will be thrown out of the bottom four based on the vote of their fellow housemate. Okay, I hope that really makes sense this time. All right, so yes, I mean, the nomination process is a big deal to me as well, especially when they go on the reasons behind their nominations. However, I'm not too mad, you know, at this breaking up the power between the fans and the housemates, because the housemates have to live. Okay, Tacho was my baby last season, as you well know, but it must have been hell living with her. Obviously, somebody like her was never going to be in the bottom four, right? But it's just the idea of it. You know, sometimes the housemates' lives are made worse by living with someone who's totally incorrigible, totally irascible. Like, imagine somebody like Lucy, who just refuses to work on the way she relates to other housemates, being forced upon them week after week after week. So it's important that the housemates do get a say. Now, where this rubs me up the wrong way is, it's going to be a click thing, a paddy thing. Do you understand? It's going to become a paddy thing. So the housemate that's not as popular, that's maybe getting that 9%, 10%, you know, it's going to be tough for someone that got 3%. For example, someone like Tochi is really close to the click in the house. Really close to the click in the house, right? So if someone like Kid, who's friends...
Well, he doesn't bring anything to the game. I'm sorry to say, but yeah.
He doesn't. He doesn't bring much to the game at all. You know, for me, I would prefer, if I had to choose, and this is going to be wildly controversial, but it is what it is. It really is what it is, right? I would prefer someone who actually leaves a talking point in the house. Somebody like Kaisha. Because it makes the show more interesting for me.
Okay, so let me come in a bit, yeah? Like, what I think, because I get the point you're making, like, with the percentages, if the housemates do not know how the people in the bottom four did, like in terms of viewers' votes, then it's pretty much like who they don't like. They just put you there. Exactly. I think it's still the same thing as, but I think it still kind of boils down to the same thing that normal nominations are. Because imagine someone like Diane that just coasted to the end of the show, you know? Because
someone like Diane was still coasted, really. Yeah, she would have still coasted because she made friends with the right people and she laid low. She wasn't threatened.
Yes, and yes, exactly. So it's, at the end of the day, I mean, I think it balances out. It's a game show, you know. It's either you win or you lose. And I mean, it's actually a win-win for them, by the way. No, it's a win-win. I mean, you're on a big platform like that.
Definitely.
I think it's a big deal already. So yes, if you, and these guys are actually lucky because they got like
two weeks.
You know, so we're going to be watching for 2 weeks, unlike Isilomo and Avala, who were kicked out in the first week because of some silly ball thing, you know. So I think that, yes, this is actually dope that this is happening. So anybody that goes home this weekend, I think it's just a win for them as well. Because, I mean, you have 2 weeks to show yourself. So if you choose not to show yourself, someone like Tolani Badge, who is waiting for her bad bitchness to kick in, you know? And I mean, like, you know, it's 2 weeks and then you're gone.
You're gone.
And there's nothing people are going to remember you for, if not for, oh, you were sleeping and you were, you know. But yes, I mean, like, shout out to Tolani and Erica. They really, really, really gave us on Saturday night. Yo, I'm not even going to lie.
Definitely.
Like,
I do want to give a shout out, a special shout out to Erica, and we'll talk about her in a little bit. But I've got a question from the audience. So Emma at @ems_John says, who do you think will be in the bottom four this week, and who out of those four would the housemates evict? Okay, so I'll go first. I think the bottom four this week will be Kaisha, Eric, Katrina, and Lilo, Tochi, or Tricky. Lilo. That's like Kaisha, Tochi, Lilo, Eric, Tricky are like the five I would say are possibly going to end up in that bottom four. And who do I think the housemates bottom are going four. To save? I think the housemates are going to save Tricky, and the housemates are going to save Eric. So if Lilo's up, I think she's gone. If Cash is up, I think she's gone. That's if they're victim two people. If they're victim one person,
and it's really crazy because Kaisha, let me finish the analysis.
If they're victim one person, I expect Kaisha to leave. If they're victim two people, I expect Kaisha and Lilo to leave. Go on.
Okay, so yeah, Kaisha is, I don't think the housemates even realize how important a character like Kaisha is in that house, you know, because she is different. She stands out. Like, she doesn't feel the need to blend in.
Definitely.
She doesn't feel the need to be like anybody else. She's just, as you see her, you know, like very blunt, straightforward, no airs really. But then that also kind of like comes across as problematic to the housemates because she doesn't have a filter. So because she doesn't have filters, she just says what she feels, what she thinks, and, you know, I don't think that's really going down well with the housemates, considering that she's had a few, what's it called now? She's had a few, like, back and forths with a few of the housemates, yes. So there's been Lucy, and there's been, I think, one other person, you know. So I don't know what it is with them and Kaisha, you know. She's just there. Like, I just really wish that they could see what us the viewers see in Kaisha, you know. I like that she's evolved this week, even, you know, like even towards the end of the of last week as well. Like, she had come out of her shell. She was just being so expressive. Like, the day she had this thing with Lucy, and Lucy, you know, she really tried to bully her, I'm not even gonna lie, but the girl just said, hey, you know what, you can't talk to me like that. No, I'm not your child, you can't.
And Lucy hasn't been the same since. Lucy hasn't been the same since Kaisha told her about herself.
No, she cleared her real good. That's the real character for it. Like, Kaisha cleared her, like, straight up, like, yo, no, you can't do me like that.
Because I think she didn't expect that comeback from Kaisha. So it's really, because if you think about it, Kaisha is the least.
It was quite humbling for her.
Yes, because they view her as the least among them. So imagine that the person you view as the lowest, in quotes, being able to put you in your place like that. It was sting, because Lucy, quite clearly well-spoken, articulate woman, sees herself as quite a bit above Kaisha. And then that one brought her, to, you know, so she's been stung. I like Kaisha. I think she brings talking points. I think she brings nice conflicts. And I think she's warm. You know, she's brash, but she's warm, and her experiences are entirely different. And I like the idea that a northerner, a female northerner, gets far on the show. That really appeals to me. So I'm fingers crossed, please, please, please vote Kaisha. Yeah. So that's my thoughts on
vote Kaisha, and vote Erica, and vote Neo, and vote, you know. So yes, it's really pretty much all of them. I think it's an amazing, amazing set of human beings, you know, on the show. They're bringing entertainment, they're bringing, even the ones that aren't really like doing so much, or that didn't really do so much last week, you can see them coming out of their shells this week as well. So I think we're really here for an interesting time.
Yeah. So Just Being B, Imade says, Kaisha, Tricky, Tochi, Lilo, and Eric for me, with reference to the bottom four housemates. I agree with you there. Thank you for listening. Please keep it locked. All right. So, we forgotten Bright O. No, I don't think Bright O will be in the bottom four. Bright O is actually proving himself to be quite a darling in Nigeria now.
That's dark, you know?
You know, they love him. If he's in the bottom four, I won't be too surprised, but I don't expect him to be there. And we keep forgetting Tolani Badge. I expect her to make the bottom four as well. You know, I expect her to make the bottom four as well. Bright O, though, I expect him to be in the top 14 because his face is familiar. He's got a story that the audience can relate to, and they find him funny. The guy doesn't do shit. Let's be honest. Pardon my French. If he were to leave the house, I don't think the housemates would notice. I would rather he left over Kaisha, over Lilo, over Eric. I'm just being honest. Maybe that's my bias. Do you understand what I mean? He doesn't do anything.
Clearly your bias, Tola.
Yeah, definitely. I'm admitting it.
Because I mean, like, Bright in his I agree with you. Like, in the first few days, he was just clearly in the room the whole time talking to just Tolani Badge, same as Eric and Lilo. They were literally always just coupled up and in bed or in one corner eating together, or, you know, so there's really nothing that both of them have done as individuals, you know, on the show that has really brought any much talking points, as a matter of fact, you know. So I think that yes, it's all of them. If they all go on the bottom four, I think whoever survives.
Go on. Hello?
Yes, I think whoever survives, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, go on.
Can you hear me? Okay. So, like, whoever survives will then know that, okay, there's clearly something, because now it's the viewer's choice. Do you understand? So it kind of even makes it easier for the housemates to know who the viewers like and who they don't like, or who they're not feeling. Do you understand? I think it's actually important. I think this exercise is actually important for them, because, you know, housemates come into the house, your fellow housemates nominate you, you get there, you come back with your 1.3 because the person that had 1.25 had to go.
So wait, hold on a second, please. I think this sort of clouds some people's game, okay? The only upside for this to me is that a guy like Tricky T, oh goodness, we forgot about Praise. I expect Praise to be in the bottom four as well. The only upside for me is a guy like Tricky T, I expect him to be in the bottom four. That way he won't be able to disturb other people's game too much, because he's quite a sneaky one, that one. And I feel like if he escapes being in the bottom four, the guys that are in the bottom four will suffer from his mouth. So it'll be nice. And once you suffer from Tricky's mouth, because he's very clever with the way he plants his little ideas, once you suffer from his mouth, I think your game is kind of doomed. And Tricky aside as well, the entire house being able to see that you're not particularly popular with the audience kind of affects mm-hmm. your game permanently, because people have chosen their favorites at this time. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, I think it has as much upsides as downsides, really, because it could go both ways. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, like, now, you know, it's not really like the housemates don't like you. You go mm-hmm. there, because I mean, like, if you're on the bottom four, it means that the viewers are not really feeling you as much as the other 14 people.
That's true.
So if you go and then you come back, it kind of gives you like, okay, so you know what, I have to up my game, because I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be on the bottom. So everybody's like really fighting not to be at the bottom four.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? So
we're going to see more fights, more drama.
I think it's fair.
Yeah, we're going to see more fights, more drama.
Anybody that leaves
this week deserves it.
Okay, well, I'm seeing something on YouTube. I don't know if you guys are. Don't worry, I'm not about to say something perverted or anything.
Go on.
I'm seeing comments on YouTube. I don't know if you guys are watching, but people are mentioning the fact that Brighto has become a meme.
He has. That's what I'm saying. The guy's popular now. He has. Haven't you seen those memes around on Twitter?
Like, is it the one that's the pastor guy that they're saying is a pastor?
Yes. What about a pastor?
I saw this one meme where they said Bright. I think he had this look on his face, and then I think there was a babe beside him trying to whether she was whispering in his ears or something, and then the guy was like, "Hey, see me, sweet."
And he's not a pastor.
He just looks like a pastor.
Wait, so how did he get the image? This pastor.
He has the
image.
Look.
What happens?
And he wears.
So nothing happened
with his
and Kara up and down.
His hairstyle.
Oh wow! I thought something happened. Guy, you know? Something.
No. When he talks,
he's very
interesting.
Actually,
when he talks,
but then will he talk? That's the problem.
So yeah, I mean,
when he talks, it's like quite interesting, and his back boss is really out of here. You know, you need to give it right back to them. Like,
he drops a one liner and then he just exits the room.
Just quick.
And it enters the room.
That's it.
It's really dope. So Anita Priya says, Brighto getting the publicity he deserves. I actually agree. Whoever entertains us, they deserve to stay. Look, after the first week of PD, if they had gotten rid of 2/3 of the house, it would have been deserved. Right? So whoever leaves at the end of these 2 weeks, whether it's my favorite or not, fully deserves to leave. Okay, this one that you're observing, this one that you don't like people in your space, this one that you're lost in your lover's arms, nonsense. If you get voted out, alele, go home. You deserve it. That's just a long... I will try for my favor. I'm voting. But if either one of my faves leave, they fully deserve it. That's just the way I feel. So let's round this up now by choosing our housemate of the week. In contention of Erica, Lekon, Nengi,
Lekon,
and Nengi. Prince. So, for me, I am making the case for Erica. Who are you making the case for?
Prince. That'll be Prince.
Okay, you go first. You're the guest. You go first. Make your case for Prince.
Okay, so with Prince, I think that he's really like well-rounded. He's very talented. And I think that's something that I can relate with. I see how committed he is to completing tasks and, you know, and he's generally like okay guy. You know, like he's friendly. He's tried to establish relationships with all the housemates in the house. As a matter of fact, if all the housemates were to choose one favorite, I think that would be Prince at this time. It used to be Lekon at the beginning. It used to be Tricky T, actually. But then you see Tricky T had been like so like he goes and talks here and then goes and talks there, and you know how like just cross carpets and everything. So yes, for me that would be Prince anyways. I think like he's mad talented, he's interesting, and the boys that we talk, you know, he also knows when to be quiet. Do you understand? So yes, I really like him.
My house,
and he's very good looking too. I mean, he's very good
when
looking.
He has a hat on.
Please excuse me, Tella. Please excuse me. I said that Prince is very good looking.
Okay, thank you. My housemate. Oh, sorry, just a clear update. One listener, Hot Yam Cheeks Faxi, says you didn't speak about Kid, Erica, Lucy and Watoni. We will get to them next week. I'm making a mental note of the housemates we didn't really speak about, and we'll make sure we speak about them at length because we want to be fair to all of them. Hopefully they'll still be in the house then. We did speak about Lucy actually. Yeah. So I'm making my case for Erica. Erica to me is the housemate of the week. Why? Erica is warm. Erica has an unlikely relationship with Lacon that just warms my heart. It warms my cockles. Erica went out of her way to approach Nengi to avoid any friction, because obviously they're the two, in her words, the two hottest girls in the house. They don't have to beef. And also, they also have a history outside of the house. So she went out of her way to mend that relationship. I'm not sure how successful she's been, you know. She has a small dalliance emerging with Kid Wire. But she hasn't thrown herself at him. She has not been over keen. Yes. She's given him space. She let him do the work, you know. And she's also very, very interested in Lacon's well-being. Every time I see that relationship, it makes me so happy. You know, Erica has a relationship with Tolani Burge. Erica has a relationship with Lilo. Erica has a relationship with Dorothy. Erica basically has a relationship with all the women and all the men in the house, except Eric, because they have issues. But we might discuss that next week if he's still in the house. So Erica has a relationship with everybody. She's gone out of her way, and perhaps naturally,
so does sure
that she's cool.
Prince.
Prince is not as warm, you know. Let's just keep
you
real.
Think?
He's not as warm. He's very matter of fact. You know, he's got something a bit angelish about him. So I cast and bind that spirit for him in Jesus' name. But yeah, so because
Angel,
it's my show,
are you kidding right
I
now?
I swear. Because it's my show. Dun, 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 dun. Erica is the housemate of the week.
We not go agree. Yes, I think that's a good one as well. Erica, I really like Erica. She's smart. She's warm. Like everything you've said. So yes, that's fair. I think that's fair.
So we've got some listeners disagreeing. Faxi, her housemate of the week is Neo, and for who is it? And for another housemate, Shorty, based on your housemate is between Erica and Lacon. Okay, Erica's still in the mix. Another housemate wants to know, who did Afro 7 have on the show, please? Introduce yourself, guest.
My name is Ife AJK. My Twitter handle is at IPHIEAJIKE.
Yes. So that's who I had on the show. Then you can go and follow her. She's also a confirmed member of the R&D, and she tweets about the show when she's not busy working. She's a caterer. She makes really good food. So go on her page, review her menu, and place your orders. That's the last free advert I'm doing on the show. All right. Yes. I really, really enjoyed you being on the show. If you thank you so very much for your enthusiasm and your participation. Yeah, you're welcome back. Hopefully we'll have you back in another week or two, you know. So it was fun. You guys, please tweet at me and my personal handle using the hashtag, if you will, so I can know what we did right, what we can improve on. I hope we make this a really fun experience and a fun part of watching Big Brother Niger. I thank you for tuning in. We'll try to be better next week. Thank you so much, you guys. Shout out to the R&D. We do this for you guys. Peace.